The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to the first episode of Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. What's up? What, you laughing at the intro already?
Oh, it's
like a wrestling announcer.
Right, right. Tee
it
up,
suspenders on. That's right. Okay.
How much coffee did you drink?
I drank all the coffee before recorded, just in case. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends in real life and on the internet. Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
What's up, y'all? I can't do the goofy voice since this is a lot of people's first time hearing me. So here I am. But the tradition is we do goofy voices when we introduce ourselves. So hello, guys.
And LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a.
Hello,
John.
Guys.
I'm not doing all that.
Goofy,
you figure out who I am.
And I'm Mike at Gardabasio on Twitter. We appreciate everyone tuning in. This is our first episode with The Volume. I'm excited. How you guys feel?
The Volume, as we've been
instructed by corporate, volume,
to emphasize.
I mean? I already fucked up the whole podcast.
We got a bunch of topics, man. It's going to be a fun one. I'm excited for real.
For those of you who are listening to us for the first time, you know, they asked us to cut a trailer for this show a little while back, and we kind of struggled to like describe what the podcast was about. But I boiled it into three words: basketball, Twitter, and tangents.
Three people talking about shit they actually give a fuck about.
Yeah.
That's the mantra.
For sure. So we're going to start this week. First of all, we're coming to you twice a week. So we're going to start this episode talking off some hoop stuff. And I'm excited about this. Let's talk about Rodney Magruder.
A person who, did y'all know he existed before today?
You know, I did hear about the Clippers picking him up in the bubble, you know, and I was like, who the fuck is Rodney Magruder? Like that was my first time hearing of him, but goddamn, he got eviscerated last night, bro.
I looked at his stats. This guy has played like 8 minutes the entire season. Mm. He played six yesterday, got 8 points, and got a little, you know,
he was picking in those 6 minutes.
Okay, you know what I mean? He took advantage. Tyler, break it down. What happened with Rodney Magruder last night?
All right, so we you know, the shit that happened off camera, so we don't really know exactly who Rodney Magruder approached or whatever, but someone roughed up Wayne Ellington, right, in the first quarter. And they said that, you know, Rodney Magruder went to someone on the Warriors at that. And they said Rodney Magruder went to the Warrior player who did that and, you know, post-game and, you know, try to get tough with him. And it happened while Klay Thompson had a live mic, which is like,
Thank God for Klay.
Which is the worst fucking thing that could happen to Rodney.
But the best thing for us.
Yeah. And so, you know, Klay eviscerated him, you know, right there on the spot with the live mic. And then Draymond, you know, followed up in the post game. Do y'all want to run those?
They can edit that in.
Here's the audio. But I would just say Klay Thompson saying he's about to be out of the league is like, if you know hoopers, bro, like that's the most offensive thing you can say to it. You know what I mean? Like you'd much rather someone call you a pussy or something than to say this dude's about to be out of the league.
Yeah. You know, I'm all for shit talking, but I feel like Klay came from a huge place of privilege on that one for a lot of reasons, right? Because I feel like that's big, dude, my dad owns a dealership energy coming from Klay right there, right?
I think that's mind your business, bro. Grown folks is talking energy. I think that's the energy right
now,
there.
But see, I think Klay violated a bit of the NBA brotherhood,
really?
Right? Because I do. Because Klay is set in a way that very few NBA players are, right? When Klay retires from the Warriors, he's going to have a front office gig waiting on him if he wants, an assistant coaching gig waiting on him if he wants, ownership waiting on him if he wants. His children's children are going to be sitting courtside at Warriors games for free, right? Klay is set in a way that very few players are. And I think that to go after, you know, the livelihood of a journeyman, like, you might be out the league. Call him trash all you want. Sure,
the
call him
livelihood?
Trash.
Livelihood? The man makes $500,000 right now. You know,
today,
and he's been in the league for a minute.
Today.
If he saved, yeah, today. But I'm saying
tomorrow, what's he gonna be making?
Right, no telling. You know what I mean? That man might be a Jiffy Lube. You know what I mean?
But I think they both sort of violated some unwritten rules, because for Magruder, if you go talk shit after the game, that's a different, you know what I mean? Like, you do the chest bumping bullshit during the game, but when you try and start something after the game,
you make really it real at that
you're
point.
You're really starting a, you know what I mean? Right, you're really starting something. But then for Clay, yeah, man, I mean, you'll hear guys say all kinds of reckless shit, but you don't usually hear someone say this dude's about to lose his livelihood.
You don't hear people say the truth. And that's why we love Clay, because that is an honest, weird dude. He is very human. You know what I mean? He doesn't know he's Clay Thompson. You know what I mean? that's why we love him. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it, dude. I mean, Rodney Magruder knows this more than anybody. Maybe that's why he was bucking up, trying to earn, you know what I'm saying, some loves in some way. Dog, sit your ass down, Rodney fucking Magruder. Okay, nobody's scared of you. Nobody worried about you. Like, you're the ass end of a joke. You only play 8 minutes, and this is how we hear you. This is how we know you exist on this planet.
I kind of had the same thought you did. Like, maybe he's trying to get a little bit of enforcer money or something. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'll be the 6'4". Right. So I was going to say Draymond didn't help out his resume when he immediately gets into the press conference and says, there's nobody in the world who's scared of Rodney.
Right. He'd be the enforcer at Gold's Gym. If we were at Gold's, he'd be the enforcer. Not amongst aliens, okay? Just Draymond, go to the locker room and be normal.
Draymond gave that man a 1-star tough guy rating.
Wrote a whole paragraph. I'm displeased with Magruder and his toughness.
The funniest shit about Draymond killing him was how disgusted he was with his name. It's like, we're talking about Rodney.
Rodney? Rodney? I have to get up here and talk about a Rodney? When's the last time we talked about a Rodney?
and Rodney's not even it's not a bad name, but
it's not a bad name, but dog, Rodney Magruder. This is who I'm supposed to be scared of.
I feel like Rodney is one of those names that just flows with, you know, fuck Rodney. Like, the lip. Rodney, man, fuck Rodney.
Man, Rodney. You feel me?
That's I will say that fuck Rodney sounds a lot more natural than, oh no, here comes Rodney.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. I think a Rodney will rob you, though.
Yeah.
A Rodney might upper you. A Rodney Magruder won't, but if he's just known as Rodney.
Rod.
Rod's a different level.
Yeah. There we go.
Did you guys catch the end of the Lakers Celtics game last night?
Yes. Oh my god. If that was one of those games that, you know, yeah, we won, but oh my god, what the fuck? You know what I mean? like that last sequence, I was going to hate everybody. I was going to hate Bron for that turnover. I was going to hate AD for getting stripped. I was going to hate Schroeder for getting his eye dotted if Kemba hit the step back. I was going to hate Trez for not boxing out on that missed putback, but we live to fight another day, so it is what it is.
Yeah, and they needed that. I mean, 3 losses in a row. It's a long
season,
man.
They're on cruise control. Mm-hmm.
They're on cruise control winning 80% of their games.
But that's not good to 3 losses in a row. You feel me?
But 3 losses in a row you don't want, especially national television, especially in Boston. You know, AD said it after the game. He's like, last time we came to Boston, they beat us by 30. Yeah. You know, he's like, we weren't trying to have that happen again.
I can't. One thing is trips me out about them. I can't believe how good Jaylen Brown is. Like, ridiculous. He was great last year and he got greater. You know what I mean? Like, the man is going to be, I mean, if the voting is correct, he should be a starter this year in the East for the All-Star. You know what I mean? He's great. And I mean, I think about him and Tatum, they're both averaging like 26 a game, shooting 50 and 40%, you know what I'm saying, from the field and 3-point line. And what do the Celtics need to not be like the third best team in the East? I mean, they have an all-star caliber player in Kemba. Smart's a great defender and he has big shots. Why are they always like, you know, the Celtics, you know, and not the Celtics?
Kemba's hit or miss as of late. You know, he was like 1-for-12 last night, I think, or some shit. Yeah. You know, they're not big. They don't have, you know, front court like that, like fucking, you know, Tice is their center. Like, who the fuck? But yeah. But I do think that Boston is going to make some noise in the playoffs, though, unless they always do. So we'll see.
I mean, yeah, they'll make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but we don't see them past that. You know what I mean? Like, and what I'm wondering what it will take Well, they have two great players, and they have one all-star caliber player.
If I can make one point, and I'll just go ahead and foreground this for, again, our new listeners, that I'm a lifelong Lakers fan, and you guys are the two biggest Bron stans on the internet. So we we have a heavy rooting interest in purple and gold in this current NBA season.
But I got my Lakers shorts on now, you feel me?
I would point out that, like, the Celtics are one of the weirdest teams in sports to me, and that they occupy this very important, like, exalted status in basketball. Mm-hmm. But they've won. I mean, they're basically the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like, in this millennium. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they've won, I think, one NBA championship since I was in high school.
They've been in conference finals a bunch, but, you know.
No doubt, but it's like they're good. That's not enough. I mean, they're better than the Bucks. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, we think of them as a perennial title contender, but realistically, if you were to make a list of pro sports franchises that have won one championship since 2000 or whatever, the Celtics would be the one that would stand out as like, oh, that's weird. You know what I mean?
They're the 50-year-old talking about back in their high school days. You know what I mean? Like back in the day, I used to, I would have gave you 30. You know what I mean? What you done now? You got Chucks on in fucking 2021, hooping in them, bro. Sit your ass down. But I mean, similar to that, they haven't done much. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they're living off of that old, you know, what they did in the past. But I mean, they're a good team. They have a great coach. They got good players. We just never, like last year, dude, the Heat had a great run and they were solid. But there's no way that Heat team should beat the Celtics with who they have. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, the Heat supporting cast is great, right? But they don't have the dogs up top in any way that the Celtics have. There's no way.
And also, the Celtics need to unretire some of those damn numbers, bro. You can't have a shooting guard wearing number 47 out there like a strong safety. What the fuck is that, man?
They're cursing themselves. They're cursing themselves.
Where they go on retire? I got an idea. I got an idea. Most overrated player in history, Bob Cousy.
You trying to take Bob
drop
out
the
Raptors.
Jersey from the Raptors.
No, oh, that's good. I'm glad we're putting everything on the table for the first episode.
You know exactly where I stand. You feel me? 10 toes with it. You feel me?
Speaking of the opposite of Bob Cousy, Twitter was aflame yesterday with conversations about who the most influential hoopers were in our lifetimes. We're all in our like mid to late 30s. I think the conversation was most influential hoopers in the last 30 years, right, Tyler?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They put up what? Jordan, Kobe, Bron, and Steph.
Yeah.
I mean,
I get it, but if Ivers is not on that list, cancel the list. Yeah. If I do, culturally, come on, man.
Who would you take off though? If that's a Mount Rushmore and there's four, I mean, who would you take off?
I'm not gonna get into that. You feel me? But like,
but that's, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you.
I mean, Jordan, obviously, Jordan is culturally and basketball wise, he changed everything, right? This is Kobe's league we're playing in. All the young guys, they're Kobe guys. You know what I mean? The up-and-coming players. You know, they're signing to Kobe's way of approaching things. Mama mentality, you feel me? LeBron is like LeBron, you know what I'm saying? And then Steph is like changed the way everybody's played the game of basketball. So, but if you don't see Iverson, I just don't get having that list. Just make it five. Fuck Mount Rushmore. That shit's trash anyway. Make it five, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I there's definitely a case for all four of those. You know, of course, MJ, you know, fucking took the NBA global, you know, showed us how to market an athlete, you know, started the whole shift of, you know, the conventional wisdom before MJ was you needed to anchor your franchise to big men. MJ made people rethink that. And I think Kobe deserves to be up there because while MJ made people rethink that, Kobe legitimized that you can anchor your franchise to a wing. And, you know, he's, yeah. And you know, it's, yeah. And it's a wing dominated league now, right? Like you got 7-footers like KD who said, you know, I grew up wanting to be Kobe. He wanted no parts of the post because he wanted to be Kobe. So Kobe definitely, you know, legitimized the wing revolution that culminated in the wing dominated league we have today. So he deserves to be up there. LeBron, I think LeBron's case for influence is, you know, he made it so that you put the ball in your best player's hand and you let him dominate the ball, not only to get buckets, but to facilitate the offense, which is why we've got the era of, you know, point whatevers, point forwards, you know, point lead guards like Luka and Harden, You know, now we're in the fucking point center era with Bam and Jokic. So I think Bron contributed to the positionless league that we see today. And of course, Steph, you know, changed the game where, you know, either a three or a fucking layup, you know, or scoring in the paint. That's what you want to do. So
I think if this were the most respected basketball players, you'd put those four. But I will be completely honest with you, and I'm with you guys that Bron is a GOAT. But I would put Iverson as a more influential basketball player than Bron, just because to me, Bron's biggest influence on pro sport has been off the court. 100%. Yeah, yeah. Well, player empowerment, and also, you know, he found a way to hybridize. You had sort of activist athletes, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and then you had Michael Jordan and sort of the birth of selling out is cool, like the corporate, like the center of the corporate world, mm-hmm. being an athlete. I myself am a Fortune 500 company. And Bron to me was really the first guy who found a way to meld that and say, hey, I can be a billion-dollar enterprise and still speak out on issues, you know, that bother me. And I think people, kids today don't understand how much he sort of planted a flag on that. But, you know, to me, so much of what Bron does is unique to him and his physical gifts. Like,
you have to win the genetic lottery completely to be a Bron.
Right. Like you could trick yourself into thinking you could grow up to be MJ or Kobe or
Kobe did. Kobe did that. Kobe did that. You know,
but nobody, like, you know what I mean? Like, who's ever gonna look like LeBron James did at 18 years old, bro?
Like 6'9", run like a gazelle with a supercomputer as a brain. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's T2000. Like, it's not, you know, like, I get that. You know what I'm saying? So, but I mean, I'm not, obviously, LeBron's my favorite player. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm not buying his shoes. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I love watching them, but I mean, it's hard to imitate, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I get that. But Iverson, to me, I just think that list isn't a list without Iverson.
Now, see, I think Iverson, you know, I've always said Iverson is my favorite person who ever played. You know, LeBron is my favorite player. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Iverson's impact on the culture of basketball is, you know, you can't overstate it. It's immeasurable. But I don't think Iverson shifted the way the game is played, though.
No, he didn't. But Iverson, like, the culture of basketball, like MJ affected culture, right?
The culture of basketball, and the way the game was played.
Yeah, too. Yeah, but the culture of basketball now is Iverson. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With how people, you know, with how people carry themselves, you know what I'm saying? Things like that. Like, MJ was cool if you weren't cool. MJ was cool if you were a kid. You know what I mean? Like, Iverson was actually cool. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you feel what I'm saying? Like, I was 12 thinking, like, MJ, you know, then I got older, I'm like, no, I loved how he played. He's my second favorite player of all time, but that man was a square. You know what I mean? Like, as far as, you know what I mean? To me. So,
well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you're a kid on Twitter, it's like, you know, it's been the crying Jordan meme and the fucking JNCO jeans for for a good 20 years at this point, bro.
Like, I mean, it's like when we were kids, you know, we saw Michael Jordan in suits and we were like, oh, that's how adults are supposed to conduct themselves.
Right.
We become teenagers and we see AI just, you know, in jeans and throwbacks. And we're like, you know, that's how adults should dress. You
and
know
talking
I mean?
About what we think adults should be, let's talk about Deshaun Watson.
Oh, man.
Great segue there.
All right. I was gonna close on this, but I like that.
You,
let's talk just about Deshaun Watson, who I love Deshaun. I love the game.
Deshaun's the man.
Quarterback. Yeah. We're all waiting to see what happens with him. I certainly don't think he's gonna be in Houston, but he had a very Houston tweet. It turns out Deshaun Watson is a leading member of LLC Twitter, which I did not realize.
Dinner with Jay-Z Twitter.
Right. Or a million. Give me the million. You know what I mean? Fuck out of here.
So John texted us this morning, and I sent some like heartbreak in the text, but Deshaun posted on his IG stories, if you're 20 to 30, and your main circle isn't discussing is in blue, opening businesses, investing, escaping the 9-to-5, fitness, self-development with an exclamation point, then it's time to find a new circle. Your network is your net worth.
How old is Deshaun?
Deshaun's shit about 24, 25, I want to say. He's young.
That's the thing, bro. This gives me briefcase vibes. This gives me the guy that came to work the first day, like doing what he thought his parents want him to do, as you know what I mean? What he thought was an adult is, and not actually being an adult. You know what I mean? And like, it's like, bro, like, all of that is cool, but you can actually pay somebody to do that shit. You can't pay to have funny friends. You know what I mean? Yeah. Flat out. And I will, you know, if you're funny, keep it a stack. I'll hide a body for you. You know what I mean? You give me you give me financial advice, thank you. But appreciate make me laugh consistently, bro. You got a friend for life. All right. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. Like, I think that's what I think is trash about the 20s is we're trying to figure out how to be an adult. And when we're 30, we actually figure out just be an adult. Just be you, bro. There's no like way to be, you know, like you said with Iverson, like, you know, like, yo, I still wear Jordans, bro. Well, not as I wear Air Max, you know, Jordan's kind of beefy on me these days.
He's so. Like, okay, so Deshaun's 25 and I could see myself, if I was rich at 25, bro, I could see myself saying something
his,
like
this. His role is very different in his
especially
life.
Especially because, yeah, like he is the way that all of his, you know what I mean? Like he, through his income, allows everyone around him, the people in his life, to ascend financially as well. So it's not a bad thing for him to be thinking this,
But he's also rich, extremely rich.
He's also
he can buy the best fucking accountants to do that work and just enjoy the money and the happiness with his family. I don't need my friends to like, in the group chat, you know, we was talking about stonks. You know what I mean? And we'll talk. I mean, in other group chats, I have that stuff too, in and out. But like, that's not the foundation. That's not why I'm friends with these people.
Well,
you know
listen,
what I mean?
it's because I like them. This week is the first time the three of us have ever. I mean, we've been friends for years or whatever. This is the first time the three of us have ever talked about personal finance, and it's because this is the first week it was fucking funny. You know what I mean?
Right. But we all are handling that out of the group chat because we're just being an adult. We don't have to have conversations about that to know that you're handling your shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, we understand these things.
Well, my wife doesn't even want me to talk to her about the household finances, and it positively affects her when things are going well. She's just like, cool, dude. Like, okay, are we getting dinner tonight?
Right.
But I just think, like, it makes sense for him. Our producer, James, just hit me. He's 25. He's worth $24 million. So he's had a very efficient time on Earth in terms of finances.
But how'd he get there? But how'd he get there, though?
But
you know what I'm saying?
What I hate about LLC Twitter is the projection onto other people. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, why aren't you? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
So, well, number one, I'm not an NFL quarterback. That was never in the cards for me. My left shoulder dislocates if I bump against a wall, funny.
Bro.
You know what I mean?
I got to stretch my shoulder in the morning just waking up, bro.
Right.
We're all
7 years younger than Tom Brady.
Insane.
So yeah, I don't know. I just that's what I don't like is like, you know, if you're in your 20s and you're just enjoying being alive, when you're in your 30s and you have more money, you'll be happy that's what you do with your 20s, bro.
Right. Did you hear about that Clubhouse tweet?
No.
You heard about that when the dude was like, he was in a key to be a millionaire room.
Yeah, I know it's.
And he raised his hand and got on stage, which is, I hate those terms that need to be said about Clubhouse. Raise your hand, you're on stage. You're just talking to people. You know what I mean? And he asked him, he said, are any of y'all in here millionaires? And the moderators kicked him out of the room. Bro, it gives me those vibes. It's just weird, dog. Deshaun, just handle that shit. You feel me? Like, you know what I mean? Just handle it. Handle it. Yo, pay some people to handle it, actually. Like, for real. And just be great at who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've done great. Like, we don't need the, like, if they're not talking about fitness and leaving a 9-to-5, really shut the fuck up. Like, if one of my friends, dude, like, if I went to my mom saying some shit like that, she'd be like.
Right. So I know I raised you to care about more than not working at 9-to-5.
Right, bro. Life is about relationships, sugar. You sound silly. You know what I mean? Shit.
The next time you're watching basketball, I've got the perfect way for you to get in on the action for free, John and Tyler. I'm talking about NBA InPlay. It's absolutely free to play on the FanDuel app and features all the fun of live betting. NBA InPlay turns every quarter of every game into a free contest where you can win real cash prizes. So while you're watching the game, all you have to do is predict the outcomes of plays and game props before they happen to claim your share of the prize pool. Best of all, A new contest starts every quarter of every game, giving you even more ways to win. FanDuel is the exclusive home for NBA in play, so the action is always available right at your fingertips on the FanDuel app. The app is easy to use and takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. It doesn't matter where you live or where you're traveling to, because NBA in play is available in every state. Don't miss your shot. I like
that. Good job, Mike. Good job.
It's not over yet. Get in the game and download the FanDuel app to start playing NBA in play today. All right, now back to the show. Well, we're going to transition into a segment we'll have every now and then on Jenkins and Jones called The Great Debate. Every now and then we argue about very stupid shit that we've been arguing about.
This isn't stupid.
Real life.
This is very serious.
This is very serious.
I'm sorry.
Peanut butter and jelly, rat versus squirrels, Arby's versus In-N-Out. King Kong versus Godzilla right here. You know what I mean?
Previous incarnations have included arguments about whether peanut butter or jelly is more important, whether rats or squirrels are more athletic, and whether King Kong could beat Godzilla. Today, John is very fired up to answer the question of, is Arby's good or bad?
No, I mean, I'm just, bro, like, it's not good or bad. We're talking about it's better than In-N-Out. Arby's is great. Ooh. No, I mean, that's not, bro, like, In-N-Out is mid. You know what I mean? Like, you love it because of nostalgia. You grew up on it. I get it. You feel me? But, you know,
that's the only argument for Arby's. The only argument for Arby's is I grew up liking their roast beef sandwiches.
You said you grew up, you fuck with the roast. I mean, what else are you going to get from Arby's?
Of course, I like all food I ate when I was poor. I didn't lose track of that side of stuff, but I'm not going to Arby's for a roast beef sandwich. I could afford roast beef.
What are you going in and out for soggy ass burgers and a $4 sandwich? If you can afford roast beef, you can afford more than a $4 damn sandwich too. You know what I mean? Arby's is, everybody talks shit about Arby's. Y'all don't even eat Arby's. Y'all are falling for the marketing or like it ain't cool no more. You feel me?
Bro, I went to bat for Arby's and I found out that like the Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area, we have the nicest Arby's in the nation because people were saying, oh, Arby's is like, you know, trash, low bottom tier. I was like, bro, the Arby's I grew up on had trees on the inside, dude. It was a fucking trees. It had living trees on the inside. It had a carving station where you saw them cut the roast beef with their hands. We have another Arby's here that has a fucking barbacoa station that serves beer.
Barbacoa.
Yeah.
You know what the fuck I'm saying.
You know he ain't from the
barbacoa. I personally wouldn't eat that shit. But yeah, like Arby's is fancy schmancy around my neck of the woods, bro. So that's why I never.
A tree?
Is that
even called fast food anymore?
Yeah,
that you sit down and enjoy that experience.
They do not. I would say this: they have never had a carving station at an Arby's in Long Beach, California. I don't know that I've ever seen a tree
in a restaurant ever.
That's like some. That's like some Odysseus shit.
Bro, I think that's great. For me, dude, the crusty edges. The roast beef are incredible. You know what I mean? It's always fresh. I never get a sandwich that is just sitting around. You feel
me? The fries are so fucking soft, dude.
The buns are great. Arby's sauce is delicious. You feel me? Like The horsey sauce go crazy. Y'all scared of horseradish, but it got something for it. Horseradish got something to say, all right? You feel me? You know what I mean? And the fries go crazy. You get a $4
top notch, bro.
Top notch, bro. Like they ride up. It's like probably Chick-fil-A fries and then Arby's fries. Yeah. You're keeping it a stack. You know what I mean? McDonald's fries was crazy before we found that McDonald's wasn't actual food. I haven't been in that thing in 10 years. You feel me? Unless McDonald's sponsors us.
We're open to all sponsorship, especially from In-N-Out.
Yeah. But it's like, yo, In-N-Out is cool, right? If I'm in a rush. But like
you're never gonna be able to get in and out of rush because there's a fucking 15-20 minute line every time you go there because that's how good it is, John.
No, bro. The fries are cap, bro. The fries are
I'm not gonna sit here and say In-N-Out fries are better than Arby's fries, but you don't go to a fast food place just for the fries.
Bro, I had In-N-Out and I wasn't underwhelmed or overwhelmed. I was just whelmed.
And that's the thing.
It was mediocre. You know, I was like,
But John is right. The nostalgia and the culture of like Southern California, it's all a part of In-N-Out. Like when I go to the In-N-Out, and I still live in my hometown, when I go to In-N-Out, I'm going to the same In-N-Out I used to go hang out with people after high school football games at. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's the same, like, when I have a double-double and a fucking Neapolitan milkshake with the palm trees on the cup.
You can smell the curb cologne.
You can hear Nipsey driving down a 70-degree night in January with the fucking palm tree. Okay. You know what I'm saying,
I hear
bro?
You.
Like,
I hear
that's
you.
In and out. That's Southern
I can't
California,
believe you said
bro.
That, but I hear you. I mean, the connection y'all have with your L.A., with your, I don't say L.A., Southern California shit. My bad, Mike. I bought a trip real quick. Because you from Long Beach. Do you feel me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Different city. Different city.
Yeah.
I don't say you're from Missouri.
Hell no. I'm from St. Louis, USA. You feel me? And the USA can be there or not, too. I'm from St. Louis.
You're from St. Louis,
You feel me? But yeah, like, I get it. But like, the Lakers, like, you know, things from LA that y'all are so connected. When people disrespect these things, they disrespect the city to y'all. So when I talk about In-N-Out, people get really mad because it's LA to them. I think LA is great. I've had a great experience here. But In-N-Out is a cap for me. That's the one thing I was like, damn, like, the palm trees are the palm trees. Yeah. The mountains on one side and those on the other, the weather. Bro, I can't, bro.
That's In-N-Out. It's all the same thing.
The chill people I met, cool. But see, to y'all, it's In-N-Out. To me, to y'all, it's Southern Cal. To me, it's just In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Sandwich and the fries, and it's a cap. You feel me?
That was kind of my takeaway when I had it. I was like, California is way too cool for this to be like one of their proudest exports. It's like you know how Snoop is like the California rapper? It's like In-N-Out would be like the G-Eazy to Snoop. Like, you know, G-Eazy's cool. He's cool on
how Oakland
on a
remix, is way, you know? Way cooler you know? Than G-Eazy. Yeah,
G-Eazy's cool. He's cool when he hops on a remix and does a verse here and there. But I'm not running the G-Eazy album. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I felt like In-N-Out was. It was like, I thought it was going to be Snoop, but it was G-Eazy.
It's G-Eazy to Oakland. That's what In-N-Out is. Y'all, you know what I mean?
But here's my question. I always point this out to people, bro, because for whatever reason, people bring up Five Guys, whatever. You go to Five Guys whenever you want. You walk right up to the fucking table and order your food, right? In-N-Out, they opened one in Colorado. It was a fucking 14-hour line.
Because of what y'all tell us. It's the branding. It's not the meat.
The line didn't go down, bro. The line was several hours long for like a month. If you go to In-N-Out in Vegas, if you go to In-N-Out anywhere, it's going to be a line to get up there.
Because people believe it's cool, dog. Do you see the clothes these folks wear out here these days because they say it's cool?
So you think every person that's going to In-N-Out.
I wore Jinkos in eighth grade, okay?
You think every person going to In-N-Out is going for the first time, they're going to be disappointed and they're never going to go back.
No, I'm just saying, bro, like, this is
In-N-Out in America could have a fucking half hour long line just off of first time customers.
Bro, if we're talking about what should have a 14 hour line, it's Chick-fil-A. That's the only thing. As much as I hate the politics of Chick-fil-A, that's the only thing that deserves.
Tyler, you said,
you know what I'm saying? A 14 hour.
We don't have cookout.
Hey, cookout go crazy.
It's the best.
In Atlanta. Okay. I'm wondering, like, okay, shit. I think they say go to In-N-Out in LA that tastes better than or In-N-Out in the Cali tastes better than In-N-Out other places. That's right here. Popeyes tastes better in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Does Arby's taste better in Virginia? Is that the case? I'm wondering if you can't get a peak Arby's set. I need to take the trip to Virginia just for an Arby's sandwich.
I already enjoyed them. This is why we signed our deal with The Volume. We need them to fly Tyler on the same day. He needs to have an Arby's roast beef sandwich in Richmond, fly out to Southern California, have it, eat some In-N-Out afterwards, and then bring some In-N-Out back to Virginia and see what happens.
I need to sit down at the Arby's with a tree in it. I think that might be on the bucket list. You know what I mean? I'm easy to please, you feel me? A tree in Arby's? Bro, I'm Gucci. You know,
if the world ever opens back up and we can do a tour, let's just do the first show would be at a Richmond, Virginia Arby's.
Oh, bro.
Around a tree with no audience.
Jenkins and Jones would that be? That would be so dumb, bro. I'm emotional. I'm sweating. I'm perspiring due to excitement of doing a show in Arby's. That would be so much fun, bro. We the musty people in cool shoes, but we don't be musty. But like that's very Jiggins and Jones. You know what I mean? Country folks in cool shoes.
The only other thing I want to say about Arby's is I think it's really like I sort of love that human beings fight for their fast food like this. Like it's an endearing thing about us as a species. Like who gives a shit, bro? You know what I mean? Like the $4, which $4 processed meat kept warm all day.
Right.
You know what I mean? And people were really, it was like,
we're not fighting about Nobu. Yeah. Exactly. You know what I mean? We're not fighting
fast about food is fast food is comfort food. And it's like, if you did someone's favorite fast food chain, you're like dissing the shit that got them through troubling times. You know what I mean?
That got you through that. The reason why you're alive and got you through college. Yeah. Like why you're alive after college, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's like my son erased what we had written on our calendar for the week for dinner tonight and wrote In-N-Out on Sunday. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you're talking shit about In-N-Out, you're talking shit about my son. You know what I mean? Like it is.
Your son likes In-N-Out, Mike, because your son likes you.
No, he likes In-N-Out because he likes good cheeseburgers.
He likes you, Mike, and you are a In-N-Out fanatic. Same way he likes the Lakers.
No. He is obsessed with it.
Who's your biggest fan?
You.
Oh, that's part of it. That's true. I love the hell out of y'all. That is very true. You got me there.
You got me.
You might have got me.
He never even listened to Jenkins and Joe.
Okay. When we were talking about the friendship, I'm thinking like, bro, if y'all told me y'all did some stuff that was, hey, what we need to do? I got a place over here we can. I'll go out to the desert with you. You feel me? Grab the shovels. You know what I mean?
Go out to 15, about an hour, and then just turn right. You know?
And keep going.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air.
For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
John, you want to talk about Freddie Gibbs?
Dude, okay, damn, this is a hell of a podcast. We've gone all over. This is a very us, though.
You're getting the full Jenkins and Jones treatment. It's basketball, Twitter, and tangents.
I have a question. My friend asked me about this. Has Freddie Gibbs reached his peak? And I wonder, I think he's getting to that currency level where he just like he hit his stride and he'll stay there, like have a niche following. But is it niche? The American language, the English language, American language. The English language, bro, is crazy. But anyway, he has a niche audience, you feel me? But like, I don't see him rocking arenas, you know what I mean, at any point. Mm. But I was wondering if, like, my friend was asking me, like, is that what Freddie wants? You know what I mean? Is he pushing for more? I don't even think he's at currency's level yet. I think his albums, this album peak is higher than currency's. I don't think his song peak is higher than currency's. You know what I'm saying? I think currency has better songs, like his best songs are better than Freddie's, but his albums aren't the Freddie's best albums, you know what I mean? But it's weird. I don't have the answer to it.
I personally think that, you know, I'm a Gibbs day one. I've been down since the Straight Killer No Filler mixtapes, ESG,
Murder Music.
Yeah, back when he was making Black Air Force music, still is.
That's just, I like to dance to mine. Yeah. I like to, you know, if I can't dance to it, while gunshots are going on in the background,
yeah,
I'll wait.
Yeah, but Black Air Force is rap. That's rap, and everything else is hip hop.
Yeah, but I think Gibbs is making the best music of his career, and he's the most critically acclaimed he's ever been too. Like, he's up for the Rap Album of the Year in a couple weeks at the Grammys. So
he's the best rapper in the world to me right now.
I think he's on a hell of a run.
And I could never say that about Currency, but Currency is my favorite rapper of all time.
Yeah, he's on a hell of a run. Like, ever since he linked up with Madlib for Pinata in 2014, then, you know, linked up with Alchemist and Spitta for
Currency,
Fetty.
For
Fetty. And then, you know, followed that up with Bandana, then followed that up with Alfredo. All-time rap run.
Bro.
All-time rap run, dude.
I get emotional with his joint with Tyler.
Something to rap about.
It's
beautiful.
The dichotomy or the juxtaposition of those two. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. You know what I mean? But yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah. That's a beautiful fucking song. And it's just straight strings. You know what I mean? And fucking Tyler rapping for 3 minutes straight. Yeah. It's a beautiful fucking song. But yeah, you know, I think Gibbs is at his peak right now. And I'm not saying that in the way that, like, it's not going to get any better than this, because I think he's still going to be giving us ridiculously good music for years.
I think so too.
I think he found his groove right now.
But we're talking about the type of music this is to me is not the music that'll ever be like mass appreciated by the masses. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm wondering if he's peaking as far as the people that know who Freddie Gibbs is. Do you think he's on Currency's level as far as like, as that, when I'm speaking about that?
See, Currency has been on a bit of a slow burn, right? Like, I feel like Currency built this following that he's, you know, Currency been in the game for a minute.
20 years, two decades.
He was down with No Limit in the 90s, you know what I mean? Yeah, so, but Currency,
choppers and shit.
Yeah, but Currency kind of sort of, you know, reinvented himself around 2008 with that mixtape run, and that's the following that he's cultivating now. So Currency's been cultivating a following for like 13 years now, and I feel like Freddie just really, really took off like the last 3 or 4 years or so.
So do you think he'll get to Currency's level?
Yeah, I can see that.
I wouldn't say the best he hoped for, because I'm not minimizing Freddie Gibbs. Freddie Gibbs is, like I said, the best rapper in the world. But like, he's not taking the Kendrick route. No. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't see him in arenas. I don't. I hope I'm wrong though. You know what I mean?
Bro, for one, I think that arena shows, like superstar rap shows, are so fucking overrated. And I'm not a hipster.
Good.
Yeah, I'm not a hipster dude who's like, oh no, they blew up and I don't like. I love when my favorite rappers blow the fuck up. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, but Snoop is the only good rap arena show that you know what I mean? Like, he had a live band too, is I think a big part of it. But it's like, I mean, you see the videos of some of the Kanye tours and shit. I'm like, no thanks, bro.
I saw Kanye when Kanye was like, when he was like pop collar Kanye, and I was like, eh, it was in a fucking stadium. You know what I mean? Bro, like, I don't feel like I'm not connected to this. I'm bro, a mile and a half away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
One of the worst concert experiences of my life was when me and my wife went to see Cardi B in Vegas, bro. Like, I love Cardi B. My wife fucking loves her too. But, bro, for one, there was a dress code. Like,
They made you put the hard bottom shoes on.
Right. We're on vacation. I got on fucking slacks. I got on fucking khakis.
You have to buy that there?
I bought them and then I returned them when I came back.
I know you didn't fold them no khakis and put them in your damn shit. You didn't do that.
Vegas. Dog, we was in that bitch. We waited for like 3 hours for her to do a fucking 15-minute set, and I was in fucking hard bottoms buying fucking $20 water. Like, it was the worst fucking experience I've ever had going.
Hard bottoms? Did you bring those too?
Yeah, unfortunately.
What were they? I'm interested. Because I have no hard bottom shoes.
There were some shoes
that I had. Common projects. Because I have the dress shoes. And they're like...
Yeah. They were some trash ass shoes that I just bought that were like that looked comfortable because I took them back as soon as I got home.
You bought them for the trip too.
Yeah, I didn't even need the money. I just needed to get that shit the fuck out of my life when I came back. Like, I needed to exercise myself.
You had to take a bath after that shit, bro. Like, you had to, you know what I mean? Like,
Deshaun Watson is ashamed of you, bro.
I wondered, do y'all have hard bottom shoes? Like, y'all
haven't worn them in shit. Last time I wore hard bottoms was when I was that shit. That was my first time wearing them since I got married 3 fucking years ago. Like, twice in like 4 years for me.
The only hard bottom shoes I have is Shar and I got married 18 years ago, and I rented everything. I don't have any of this shit. Deshaun Watson would hate me. You know what I mean? I don't have.
You are not an adult.
I have 2 dress shirts, bro. And when I speak at banquets and shit like that, I flip them back and forth every time. I wear the green one, then I wear the silver one, then I wear the green one, then I wear the silver one. The only hard bottom shoes I have is when we got married 18 years ago. I rented everything. We forgot to return the shoes, and they never said anything about it.
Oh shit!
So I still have my shiny ass. Getting married.
Oh, so you got like the shiny ass patent leather hard bottoms. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
patent leather goes kind of crazy. Yeah. Get you a nice little black suit, black little joint, and then just throw the patent leather on. That's a little spice. That's seasoning. You feel me? I fuck with it. That's smart. But I don't own any hard bottoms. I don't own a suit. I don't own a legit dress shirt. The closest thing I have to a dress shirt is a flannel, bro. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as I quit that job in 2016, I burned everything. Get the fuck away from me forever. I'm going to be me for the rest of my life. And that does not include no fucking hard bottom shoes. I'm in my sister's wedding.
You literally burned all your dress clothes? Like, set them on fire?
I tossed that shit in a dumpster. Maybe somebody, hopefully somebody else burned them shit. I told you, I had a tailored Brooks Brothers suit.
I thought you had like the 16-year-old girl, like the trash barrel in the backyard. And were like ripping off sleeves and throwing them in.
I launched that suit into the dumpster, bro. You're right. I turned my back on that dumpster and never looked back. You know what I mean, bro? No, bro. If I gotta do that, that ain't for me. You feel me? Got a tattoo on my hand and shit. Nah, like I can't hide me no more. You feel me?
You're out on the golf course dressed exactly like yourself, bro.
Bro, I got a tee time today. I'm going to be out there in swishy pants and a t-shirt talking about the black dollar. Keep it in the community. You know what I mean? And a fitted. Cussing like a motherfucker getting birdies.
I went a little too far.
A little too much.
Bro, we hopefully we play bogey golf. You know what I mean? I'll say that. We'll play. I got a birdie every time I played in the last, I think, 3 times I've been on the course. So I'm getting better. It's a chipping for me. But anyway, yeah, I'm just trying to be me everywhere I go, bro. If I got to wear hard bottoms for it, it's not for me. I don't belong. Well, and I'm cool with that.
Our first episode of Jenkins and Jones for the Volume Podcast Network. No hard bottoms, no dress shirts.
We're regular dudes talking about regular shit. You feel me?
No Wolf of Wall Street memes, please.
None of that, bro.
Yeah. You know I'll throw the one.
The key to being a millionaire.
The one Wolf of Wall Street meme I liked was the one of, what's her name? Regina George. What's her name? I don't know. Anyway, you know the one where she puts her high heels, she puts her high heels on Leonardo DiCaprio's forehead.
Yeah.
And it was like yeah. Someone put the meme up. It said me, and then Leonardo DiCaprio was people trying to explain Wall Street to me. I'll go with that meme. You know, like that worked for me. Anyway,
you'll know if I'm a millionaire because you'll never see me again. Like y'all will. But the internet?
All right. That was the first episode of Jenkins and Jones for the Volume Podcast Network. Come back on Thursday. We'll have our next episode. We're going to be talking about that Nets Clippers game on Tuesday. We'll talk about the Super Bowl and old ass Tom Brady. And I think we're going to talk about All-Star WandaVision.
Stuff? WandaVision? Maybe some All Star
stuff? Yeah, some All Star stuff, MVP stuff.
Yeah, ooh.
I really just want to talk about WandaVision for like a half hour to be complete.
I'm going
to
tap in, bro. Actually, I'll be honest with you. After the third episode, I'm like, okay.
The fourth one is about to pull you all the way in.
But I think the fourth one's a humdinger.
It's a humdinger. One hell of a show there, buddy. Humdinger. I like that.
All right, y'all. We'll see you guys on Thursday.
All right. Peace.
All right.